Well, we're still teaching on the subject of what is faith. We're going back over to last week, dealing specifically, we were talking about the tongue and speaking specifically on that subject. And we talked about from James, where James had said that, "For we all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." It says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body." And we're talking about, you know, really it's putting the bit in our mouth. This is really one of the major problems of the church world, is the lacking in the areas of faith. This is why many people, things don't work for them. They are not consistent in their mouth. They never put the bit in their mouth to keep themselves in a direction. And you need to learn to do that. Your mouth will keep you in your direction of faith. If you can't guard your mouth and keep your mouth saying the right things, you're going to always end up in having problems and wondering. You're saying, "I don't understand why it doesn't work for me." Well, those words tell you. That's why it doesn't work, because you don't guard your words. You don't speak. You got to learn to guard what you say. When we say things, we've been teaching. When we're saying things, we're going to look at that some today. When we're speaking things, we're planting seeds. That the Bible says, the sower sows the word. Well, it's not just the word of God. In the Bible, it's talking. Jesus was talking about sowing the word of God. But you're constantly sowing words, and your words, your spirit hears. And they get into your spirit, and you walk along, and you know, one time you're talking about, you know, "Well, I believe in God. I believe I'm healed." And later on, you're talking about how sick you are and how bad things are and that stuff. And you keep going back and forth. James said, a person who talks like that, don't let them believe they're going to receive anything from God. That's what James said. See, if we're going to be double mouthed, we're supposed to not think we're going to get anything from God. You see, the church knows very little about faith, knows very little about it. We think faith, "Well, I'm just believing God." Believing produces nothing. Believing in itself does not produce a thing. A person can believe Jesus is Lord and go to hell. Believing it doesn't matter what you believe. It's what you do with what you believe that produces something. And so today, the church, where everybody thinks, "Well, I believe stuff." Who cares? Believing things don't produce anything. Believing things and then acting on it, like the scripture says, produces. The farmer can believe that if he plants seed out in his field, it'll grow. But if he don't put seed out in the field, his believing don't do him any good. It doesn't do any good at all. See, believe in what you're supposed to do, but it's another thing to do it. And so we got to get over in this thing of, we got this parts of faith. We get one part of it, and the church has made that the whole thing. That becomes everything, that part. And so thank God that it's not. But faith is really a simple process, and it's working all the time. Whether we call somebody operating in unbelief, they might be operating in unbelief concerning the word. But everybody is producing what they are believing and saying. They're producing it in their life. Is when Kenneth Hagin, when I first started to listen to him, and he said, "Your life has turned out the way you made it." Well, and I got over listening to his teaching in faith, I realized there's a lot of things in my life. I produced it. The devil didn't produce it. God didn't do something. I produced it. See, the people that believe God's in control, they blame him for their blab mouth. They blame him for what they produced. And so it's dealing with these things. It's realizing, you know, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, salvation. You can't get saved without a confession. Confession is made unto salvation. You don't get saved by asking Jesus into your heart. You get a confession that you make. And that the Bible don't tell you to ask Jesus into your heart. That's man's ideas. That's man's thinking. That's not the Bible teaching. We don't see it in Scripture. It don't say in Scripture to do that. That's the gospel of man. And people do it and don't get saved. And so we got to come over. Get in line. Do what the Word says. If you understand what the Word says to do and you do it, it will work. It must work. Because if it don't, Jesus Christ is a liar. And that will never happen. That's never going to happen. You know, let God be true and let Ed be the liar, because we're not going to go through the thing, you know, like God's made a mistake. God's holding back for a reason. No, it's your blab, dumb thinking, dumb talking is what's holding things back. It's what keeps things. And you have to, this stuff takes time. And I want to talk about that this morning, about some things, because too many people, really, we have the idea of sort of like, and they use the term McDonald's faith. It's like, you know, I just believe something quick, go get it and bang, and that's the way it happens. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says faith and patience inherits the promise. Everybody wants instantaneous. That doesn't work that way. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you know, you got sick and you're dying, and he said, if you waited then to get into faith, he said, you waited too long. When you're healthy, that's when you need to be making the right confessions and saying the right things, because you're planting seed. And I'm going to tell you what, if you wait till the seeds of your body and all your sickness is dominating and ruling, you're going to have a hard time choking that one out. See, people wait too long. They wait and get themselves out there. Now, we looked last week, some Proverbs. I'm just going to read through these scriptures. I'm not going to, you know, get down and take time for everybody to look them up. But Proverbs 18 and verse 20 and 21, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. And then it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, that word stomach there in King James says belly, but really the actual term there is talking about the womb, the inside or the hollow of a person. It's not talking about a stomach, actually, the actual stomach. But so it says that a man's stomach is going to be satisfied, or the inner man, your inner man is going to be satisfied by your words, what you speak. If your inner man's not satisfied, it's because of your mouth. It's because of your mouth. Understand. The satisfaction you want to have is getting your mouth in line, because if your inner man isn't happy, it's because you're putting seeds in it by saying stuff, and it's producing. It is producing those things. And if you want to have a satisfaction, life and death are what? In the power of the tongue. Gee, I thought God was deciding that. Oh, God decides when people live and die. No, they don't. People are deciding those things. People are setting things in motion. The laws of God are at work. He made laws at work. But we act like He's specifically picking people out and doing things. No, He's not. And so it is so important to get over and learn these principles. Proverbs 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. So a man satisfied, what? By the fruit of his mouth. So you got to get, if you want to have good, you want to have good fruit, or you want to have bad fruit. See, you got to be dealing with your mouth. You got to put the bit in your mouth. Boy, there's sometimes you want to say things, you need to know when they say, bite your tongue. You need to learn to do that. You need to learn to do. You need to be careful about what you say. And especially, you know, doing things, you know, just blurting out stuff. People do, well, I'm going to say what's on my mind. Please don't. Please don't. I'm going to tell you, that's why so many people live lives of destruction. They keep thinking it's some kind of intelligence to speak your mind. I'm going to tell you, God wants you to speak what's in your heart. He didn't tell you, because your head can have really dumb things in it, and we got a lot of nonsense up there. And you don't want to be blurting it out and tell people, I'm going to tell you what I think. Well, everybody has an opinion, and we're not interested really. Getting yourself, guarding yourself to make sure you're saying things that bring life to you, that produce life for you and not death. You're going to eat the fruit of one or the other. Whichever one you love, that's what you're going to eat. Now you say, well, I don't love sickness. Well, then why do you talk it all the time? Why do you run around and say the wrong things about it? You know, why do people say, oh, I don't love it? Well, what do you mean? It's the center focus of most people's lives. I get around people, man, that's all they want to talk about, either the bad weather or what their sickness is. That's, you know, no wonder. No wonder we have climate change. Dear God. If we could get rid of the Weather Channel and all those stuff, we would have such improvement, because people are sitting and watch. Oh, we should watch weather all day. I mean, dear God. I mean, what do you got? 24-hour weather? The only thing I'd want to do is throw my TV out the window if I had to watch 24-hour weather. Dear Lord. Oh. Shame. We're so informed. Oh, what intelligence we got. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. But the man, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Again, a person's mouth. Jesus said this, a good man in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And man, I have found this true. You find this out. You put anybody under pressure and you'll find out what's really in their heart. Out of the abundance is what's in your heart, especially under pressure. It's going to come out what you really believe. That's what's going to show up. That's why under pressure, you can really measure yourself to find out how spiritual you are. Sometimes I found I wasn't as spiritual in some areas as I needed to be. And see, you're going to find out what's really in you, what's inside of you. Now, Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, we've learned this as Christians around each other to have certain lingo and certain talk. But many people don't do that when they ain't in church and around other Christians. They have another language that they speak. They have other things that they talk. They have other ways that they say. You're going to produce that what you talk the most. That's what you're going to produce. Sunday morning ain't going to help you at all around people just talking a certain way when during the week you spend all week talking other ways. Ain't going to do a thing for you. That's why there's a lot of false Christianity, you know. That's why, you know, I've always told you, when I get around people who don't know me, I never tell them I'm a minister, especially Christians, because I love to listen to them talk, and then I tell them I'm a minister, and then all of a sudden they become religious people. And I just, it always cracks me up, I think, you know. You know, they think they fool God. You know, they're just idiots. No, you have to have a way that you talk and a way that you do. There has to be ways that you think about things. And if you're going to succeed at producing fruit, you know, we don't, you know, you go out here and some guy has an orchard. He don't go out there in his orchard and just, you know, do anything out there he wants to and anything. And, well, let's prune the trees this way this year. Let's just do that way. Let's do it different than what we used to do it. Let's do it this way. Let's cut these branches off instead. Let's just try this out and expect the things to work. Things work by following rules and laws of things of how they do. And you got to learn to get good at that, especially if you want faith to work. You got to learn to be good at it. In other words, and I'll tell you what, it takes practice. It takes practice to do things, especially confessions into areas, because we're planting seeds into our own heart by our words that we say. And so we want to do that. Jesus said in Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your treasure? Your treasure is what you talk about all the time. The things you always talk about, you're always, you can say, oh, you'd like to have a new car, but you over here talking about this other junk all the time, you know, and people, you know, saying things. I'd like to have these things. But what you really say all the time is the things you're going to produce. Well, you spend your time thinking and meditating on the things that you treasure. You don't spend your time meditating on the things you'd like to have unless it be your treasure. You wouldn't think about it. You're going to, whatever you like the most, you spend your time thinking on the most. That's what you do. What you really like, you'll spend your time thinking to. Your thinking will always turn to the things that you really, you know. I'm running into people, and I know this. They think a lot about their bad health all the time. You get around them, and I'll tell you what, you can be talking about something else, but it'll eventually come over to their health. That's what they'll start talking. They'll start talking that people come along, and they have this problem in life. Eventually, they're over there, and they're at the, because those things become their treasure. They don't see it as that. They say, well, I don't treasure that. Well, then what else are you always digging up in it for? Why are you always down there opening that chest up? Why are you always doing that thing? See, they get over. They don't even realize that's the area that dominates their life. That's the place that dominates and rules. And so you get around, you know, it's like with me, you get around people that are talking negative all the time. And I said, it's like, man, I just can't listen. I hate the radio shows where they're always talking about problems of things. I can't, it irritates me so much to listen to. I don't see how people can listen to 3 hours of that a day without getting a handgun out and going, boom. I mean, it is insanity. I don't need to hear about the problems all day. I mean, you know, I could go online and maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes to look at the headlines, and after that it's like, my God, I need to pray, because already I'm getting irritated inside. I gotta get my flesh under right now. Get over. But people, they'll fill themselves with it and then come out and go want to spend all their time talking about it, and then it's like, my God. You can't do that, because all those times you're putting those seeds in you, they dominate in there. You know, those seeds are in there trying to produce. They're trying to produce. And people say, man, I just got problems and I don't understand why. Because of what's producing inside of us. It's either life or death. And, you know, one of the things you got to really learn to know you. You need to know what you can take to be around or you can't. You know, it's like a guy who's a drunk, you know, good, don't hang out in the bar. You know, but many Christians, they have problems and they hang out with things and their beliefs, and the things that they hang out with are things they have a hard time dealing with. You got to learn to stay away from things till you mature enough it don't bother you. But you can't go hanging around in it. You know, I see people, they say, man, well, I just hate the news. What are you looking at it for? If you hate it, why do you go look at what you hate? I mean, why don't you go look at the Bible? It has some good things in there. Why don't you go spend some time looking at that? Well, you can't be looking at that all the time. Say, yeah, but you can look at the junk all the time. You know, spend our time looking at the junk. Spend our time with, you know, our 47 friends that ain't our friends on the phone. So they could care less tomorrow what happens to you. You got run over by a truck that day. Isn't that sad? I like this friend. We'll talk to this guy. Okay. Ah, praise God. In Matthew 12 and 35, we read last week, 35 through 37, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, now this is Jesus, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Why did he say that? Because your actions are going to follow your words. We're going to be judged by what we do in the flesh, by our word. We are justified on the basis of what we believe and say. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? He said, didn't come back and say, will I find believing in the earth? He didn't say that. He said, will I find faith? Will I have people believing the word in their heart, saying it with their mouth and acting on it? That's what he's looking for. He ain't interested in coming back and a bunch of people saying, I believe. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin in September 2nd, 1950, he said, many of my people, many will not be ready for my return. Why? He's going to come back and find them walking in faith. That's why. He's not going to find them walking in faith. They're going to be believers, believing, but they ain't going to be walking by faith. They're going to be saying, I believe this, but they're going to be confessing all kind of other junk. They're going to be following other junk, doing other junk. That's what they're going to be doing. That's why the Lord has me such intently over here teaching in these things. Because if we're going to follow God in this last day and do the will of God, and we're going to hook up with Him, we can't do it if we don't get in line with what God says to do His will. And to do His will, you got to walk by faith, which means we got to get our mouths in line. We got to get ourselves over. Your level of faith is not going to rise any higher than your confession. Your level of faith cannot go above your confession. It's an impossibility. What you say with your mouth is what is going to produce in you the level of faith that you're going to have. And so we're going to look at some of these. We'll look at some of these things in here. One of the things we want to look at, I want to share this with you. We're going to back over a scriptures I used before from Mark, but the Lord spoke to me this morning about going, well, last night actually, about going back over to this. And I'm going back over to Mark, the 4th chapter, because there's a principle that's laid out here that you need to get a hold of, and you need to understand this principle. Jesus used it talked about seeds and the development of seeds, how they work, dealing with the subject of faith. That's what Jesus did. He talked about how seeds work. And really, we look in the natural, from the natural side, we see things in the natural realm that coincide with how spiritual things operate. So Jesus spoke about the things on the natural side to tell us how these things work. Now in Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 26, this is Jesus. Now to me, he's the final word on the subject. If people have another belief, go ahead and believe whatever you want. I'm sticking with Jesus. Jesus said it, it's so. Now he said, this is Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God is like a man scattering, or you could use the word there translated sow. The kingdom of God is like a person sowing seed. He said, this is what the kingdom is like. We know this. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. The seeds he's talking about here, what is scattering, is words. This is what he's talking about. He said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, he said, how can you understand any parable? If you don't understand about this speaking in the word things, you might as well burn your Bible, because it ain't going to do you any good. Because it is founded, the kingdom is founded on these principles. Jesus, it says, spoke in parables. That's what he did. He spoke in parables, and his parables had to do with how the kingdom works. And in teaching that, he said, the sower sows the word. So the parable of the sower is the key to how we're looking at this, what he's talking about right here. It's based upon that, is the fact the sowing we're talking about is, and he's going to use a natural term, but we're talking about spiritual things. He's taking a spiritual principle of how things work in the realm of the spirit. The kingdom of God is in itself isn't a farmer planting seed out there. But there's a parallel to a farmer planting seed to how the kingdom works. And this is the kingdom's main principle is the sowing of words. It's its main principle. God created the earth with words. That's how it was done. It's words. He said words. And things happen. That's the kingdom. Words produce things. Just like we have, God put in the earth seeds that produce things that we want or need in the natural. They produce things. In the kingdom of God, for God's kingdom of word, the words in God's kingdom, words produce the things you need. Words do. They're the seeds that produce the things that you need. You need to understand it. That's why if you can't keep your mouth in line, you're going to be planting weeds all the time. Always planting weeds and getting weeds. Because what happens is in the realm of the spirit, planting those wrong things and then getting into your spirit produce what you don't want. You got to learn to guard it. You have to. This is how the kingdom is. God's not frivolous in his talk. God's not sitting up there and saying, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm just feeling so lousy today. I'll tell you what, you know, Satan done made me mad and now I'm just, you know, he ain't sitting up there whining. And so we need to guard ourselves. You know, we need to really is protect ourselves of what we say. Many times we say words, it opens up the devil to do things to us. We say words to give him authority. Say, yeah, go ahead, attack me. Go ahead. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. So the kingdom of God is somebody sowing seed in the ground. Now, this ground we're talking about, what's the heart of man? It's the parable of the sower. The heart of man, or the spirit of man, is where these seeds get sown. Now, in the parable, it's talked about the word of God and the word of God being planted. But you need to understand this. You can plant Satan's words, you can plant words of unbelief, words of doubt, words of sickness and disease, words of poverty. You can put them into your spirit. When Jesus made this statement, people say, well, you know, God wants poor people because he said you'll always have them with you. No, he knew there were going to be dumb people going to sit around and talk about their poverty, and they're going to sit around and there's preachers going to preach to them that they should be poor. He knew that. He didn't say it because he wanted it to be that way. It's God's will that everybody prosper. That's the will of God. But God always knew that there's people that ain't going to go along with his will. So these words, planting the wrong words. Now, here's what he says about when seeds are sown. Those seeds are sown, and he said, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. You need to understand it. You don't need to know how it does it. But you need to know this. When you're planting things and you get words planted in your heart, they're going to start growing whether you realize it or not. It says, what does a farmer does? A farmer plants his seed in the ground, and you know what? He don't go stand out in his field and watch. He has other things he's got to do and work, and he don't go out there and look at that field. He don't go out there spending time in that field. He's over here doing all these other things, and he goes to bed at night, and he gets up in the morning, and you know what? He ain't even thinking about that field out there. Why? Because a farmer knows this. If he planted a good seed in the ground, it's going to come up. This is the ignorance of Christianity. Christians don't even understand the principle. They don't realize at all the things that are growing up. They think they can say anything they want and nothing's going to happen. I'm sorry, you're planting seeds. The seeds that you plant are going to come up. You know, and you need to understand this. I don't care how much you want blessing. The seed that you plant is what's going to come up. A farmer don't go out there and say, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'm going to plant carrots this year and harvest corn. Christians are trying to do that all the time. That's Christianity. Christianity is always trying to harvest what they never planted. They planted other things, but they're trying to get something that they didn't plant. You can't, it don't work that way. Understand, Jesus is telling us, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, go to bed, you may forget about those things you've been saying and over there talking all that time. You may forget about them, but I'm going to tell you what, they're going to come to roost one day, good or bad. Good or bad. Because we'll talk about this. He says, what happens? He says, for the earth yields crops. Well, here he's talking about the physical earth, but we know this. It's to tell us something about the earth, your human spirit, your heart, where these seeds got planted. This is what he's talking about. That earth. You need to understand this about your human spirit. Your human spirit has a likeness to like dirt in the ground. You put a seed in the ground, and that ground will do everything it can to try to make that seed produce. That ground will work night and day to help that seed produce what it's supposed to. You need to understand about your human spirit. Your human spirit has been designed to take any seeds of the word that you planted in it, and it'll work night and day, good or bad, to try to bring it to pass. That's what your heart will do. Your heart will always hook up with the direction your mouth will go. Your heart will always, if you put bad seeds in it, she's like a farmer. As I said, the farmer plants corn and he plants carrots. He can't get corn out of it. The seed, the earth will always produce what is put into it. It'll always produce what is put into it. And if we put wrong words, speaking wrong words, and get them words into our heart where we're acting in faith on them and confessing them and saying those things and got those wrong things in our heart, those wrong things are going to start to produce, and your spirit will work night and day to bring that to pass. It's going to work night and day. This is why you put the bit in your mouth. See, if you understand that, you go over and read James. People, you know, don't always like to read James. He's a pretty hard guy. And they don't like to read him because he touches people where they live. So let's go over here and read about how much God loves me. Let's go read that one. See, you're guarding the mouth. James talks about it, how terrible the mouth is, because the mouth starts fires. It starts fires. It is worse than it starts fires. Your mouth becomes the fuel that keeps it burning. But you're getting things into you, getting wrong things into you. This is why it's really a labor. It's really a work to deal with these things. He goes along to say, he said, for the earth yields crops for itself, says first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. Said, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So is a guy out here harvesting? Well, first of all, that thing will start to grow up. Remember in the parable of the sower? Starts to grow up. Now, there's some people, the word of God didn't produce in them, did it? Some because of them, it started to grow up. And, you know, this says because, you know, persecution stuff, they took off. They didn't stay around long. They didn't stay with it. There's ones, it says that the cares of the world, deceitfulness, riches, and other things entered in and choked the word. Why? They got other things they were saying and talking and planted other seeds in themselves. And they fell in love with those seeds. They put those things and put them in till it choked the word of God out in them. So you want to choke out what's in you, the stuff that is there? Just keep putting the word in you and keep confessing the word and saying the word. Keep speaking what the word of God says, not just some mimic thing. Say it in your heart. Believe it. Get it into your heart where you're, and it doesn't happen overnight. But let me explain this to you. I don't know if we'll get over talking about the tree of life or whatever. You know, that's part of what I was going to go over to. We'll talk about that some if we get there. But the Lord, just an interesting thing that happened to me. You know, one of the things of over the years, there's certain things you put into yourself over time. And for over 30 years, I have been confessing and saying the fact that, you know, I don't mind, like I can get in a car and drive and just drive and drive and drive. And I can go for hours. I'd go, like I just ran out to Branson and, you know, drove about 15, 16 hours and drove through, just drove straight. People say, I just can't do that. And I want to understand, you can't do it. You said you can't. You've planted those seeds. And for over 30 some years, I've just made a confession. I get in a car and I can drive and drive and drive and I can go there and I can do it. I can drive through. I can stay awake. I can do it. And I say, now there is some things that you can do for you naturally that would sure help you. You know, there's things that the Lord taught me over time. There's certain things the Lord taught me over time. One of the things that is, like I traveled sometimes is traveling long distance. I've always said over the years, I never, you know, people talk about this, you know, they travel and what do they call it when you, huh? Yeah, people get jet lag. I've never had jet lag in my life. I've flown, you know, from Fiji and different, I've flown around to India and all places. I never get jet lag. And it is because I say I never get jet lag. I don't get jet lag. I ain't got time to have jet lag. I don't have time to go to mission field and spend 2 days trying to recoup. But 99% of people will. Because you just can't confess that one day and have it work. You see, for 30-some years, I have said this. You know, it's the easiest thing to get me to get in a car and drive long distance. That's the easiest thing in the world for me to do. But I have said it and said it and said it. Now, I know people have faith. I went out to Branson. I drove out there. And that night, you know, I went to the meeting, and I got there on Tuesday, you know, right before lunchtime, and I went and got something to eat and things, and I come back over in the hotel. They had a room for me ahead of time, and so I went in the hotel and stuff. That night, I went to the meeting, and so people said, oh, man, Pastor Gibson, you're here. And I said, did you fly out? I said, no. I said, I drove out. I said, you drove out. I said, did you drive out and stop? And I said, oh, no. I said, I just drove straight through. What? You drove straight through? How can you? I could never do that. And one guy said, now I want you, these are people that understand how faith principle works. These people know how to put things in their life. But they have these areas here, they have closed. They have said words. Like one guy said to me, and I mean, a wonderful guy. I mean, but he said, oh, I can't drive at nighttime. I'll just fall asleep. I can't drive. I can't do it. Well, sure. I thought, well, sure you can't do it. You said you can't. And you have put that in yourself. Now I understand. I've been able to do this not because of one day I said it. I have been making this confession for 30-some years. I've become highly developed in this area. I can produce it like that. I can get in the car like that and do it. If you haven't done what I've done, you can't do that. You need to understand why people get their faith produces certain things and some people don't. Because some people, what everybody wants is I make one confession and say, I made one confession while I'm healed. I don't understand why I still feel bad. Well, I understand. You ain't faith at all. Get over it. You made one little confession and you turn around, but you have 490 confessions that have been in you for how long? They're still producing fruit. It takes time to get things to where they can produce. So one thing is I learned from Charles Capps. These are the principles I learned from him. Over time, you say things. Over time, you get that word into you and you get that seed developed in you and you keep it till it can produce. People want an instantaneous. It doesn't do that. You can't, you know, just like people just want to make a confession and it just happened. It don't go that way. You got to get it in you. It's work. It's time. When I first got born again, I spent 3 years in our bedroom, a lot of time in our bedroom, away from everybody. And in that place, I only talked to God, read the Bible, and listened to tapes and things. I didn't have conversations with other people. My mouth was being trained in that room. In that room, I would be talking to God. So I had enough sense to know you can't talk foolishness with Him. He won't put up with you. He won't put up with it. But you do is you're keeping yourself. It takes time to focus yourself. In my first 3 years of Christianity, like a lot of people say, well, you know, I've had people tell me, say, you grew up fast. I didn't grow up fast, really, per se. It seemed that way. But if you would have had to do what I did to get where I was. Most people, they want to put in 0.1% of the time and end up where I was. You're going to, folks, this is just the way it is, you know? You know, some guy wants to be a doctor. He can't go out here and hang out with his friends. Go ask a resident in a hospital what kind of life he got. Quit griping about them when they charge you a fortune to see them. They should. Doctors ought to charge a fortune. What they had to go through to get there. I'll tell you what, I'm worth a lot of money to you folks, whether you realize it or not. The only guy that can pay me what I'm worth is God. You guys ain't got enough money to pay me my worth. I'm not saying this big-headed or anything like that. I just know what values are. Most people have no idea what is a value and what's not. In our society, the things that are value are usually the trash. What's important to people is the junk. We walk around with $500, $600, $700, $800, $1,000 phones in our pocket, and all we do is trash with it. It's trash. Talking junk with people, sitting down and reading their junk when they send it to us. So we can be just part of the junk. Oh, yeah. Doing it with my friends. Yeah, they're my friends. Yeah, that's right. I tell you, they sit in there. They gave me a like. Folks, these things are important. This is one of the things that I learned at Charles Capps and his great success. See, I saw these people. When I got there, all these ones were talking this stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, Randall Greer's talking about faith, and it was interesting because I talked to Randy. Randy and I had a little discussion, and he said about me driving out there. And I said, you know, I said about flying, but I said, you know, I drove out, and I said, man, I got to spend a lot of time just praying. I said, I was listening to some Kenneth Hagin stuff that I have. I was listening to some teaching that he had done years ago, and I said, I was listening to. I said, really, I have a good time doing that. And this is what Randy said. Randy said, yeah, he said, I used to do that. He said, I would drive long distances just because. He said, number one, I get closed in that car. See, people don't see the blessing of it. Everybody thinks about, the road and people driving. The reason you don't like all that stuff and you have problems with it because you said you do. You say you don't like it. You don't want to put up with it. Well, don't be surprised when you get in your car and drive. You're upset all the time. And you think, because you said you're going to be. You've been confessing and bringing that fruit up in you. I mean, have at it, folks. Look, I'm not saying this in criticism. I'm just telling you what's been going on. This is what's been going on and happening. See, we don't apply, the word is something that we do to this woo-woo spiritual stuff. And then we want to tie it to that. And then we walk around in 90% of our life, and the word we just bypass everything and walk around and talk our junk about all the stuff and things and that stuff. And say, boy, I tell you, the world's getting bad out here. Sure, it's all these bad people talking junk. And we're a part of, and we're doing. You know, something aggravates you and gets you upset. Don't sit around confessing about it all the time. Dear Lord, don't turn around and throw more gas on the fire for yourself. You're irritated enough. You say, I hate driving in all the traffic. I'll never say that. You know why? Because as people get in it, they hate it. And man, you're a target for the devil to get killed out there. Because you made yourself a target. Not the devil and not the traffic. You did. By your blab mouth. I'm not a target out there. Praise God. They can all go crazy. It ain't. Hallelujah. I'm as safe out there. I'm going to tell you, if God can only protect me inside of four walls made of concrete and that stuff, He's a nobody. If he can't protect me out there in the middle of the stuff, he ain't worth walking with. He ain't no God. That running the Lord, he's a strong tower. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. Except when you get out on the road. Then we don't know what he is out there. Oh, not quite so sure. Or this problem in life, and he's not, he's not a strong tower. See, we got to get ourselves over. We're designing ourselves. And see, we want to get where our faith is of a practical use. How can you have peace and joy in life when the things we have to do go drive out into traffic? And we have to do things, and all the time we're talking it down and bad-mouthing it and stuff. We should, and then say, Lord, give me peace. Well, how can he? Can't get you to shut up. See, we have to learn. We're not doing this to criticize. I'm just telling you, this is the way it works. I know. I've set some fires in my life, you know? And you have too. You've set some fires. And blame somebody else for it too. Well, if you can't say amen, say oh me. But see, we need to understand this. We need to learn to bring things to a halt. And one of the things, we need to get focused. Now, you're not going to start and do everything at one time. But you need to pick areas of your life, things that you need to get focused and begin to have a confession and start to say certain things and refuse to think and talk other things about it. You have to do that. You have to find out what the Word says, what God says, the promise of God. Begin to speak that. Number one, if you look in the Word of God, you know, concerning, like say you take healing. Healing is something you already have. See, you ought to be talking about it as you're getting it. If you're talking about God giving it to you, you will just forget it. Don't bother. And it ain't ever going to come. We're going to talk about those things. Most people are operating in areas of hope. And hope's down the road always. And you know what? Tomorrow your hope will be down the road a little further than it was today. And the next day it'll be a little bit further down the road. It just keeps moving away from you. The more you walk toward hope, hope moves down the road a little bit further. It's always in the future. Hope is never present tense. Faith, you need to understand this. If you're in faith, your mouth is always speaking present tense. It's talking that I have, not I'm trying to get, or sometime God will give it to me, or, you know, God is going to heal me sometime, or God's going to, that's none of that is faith. That's no faith or belief at all. That's hope. That's the future. Faith is always present tense. Always present tense. Faith is speaking, I believe I received it. It's mine. I have it. See, I got it. Hope is always out there trying to get it. See, you got to always be talking like you have it. Faith is dealing with the unseen realm. Hope always deals with what you can see and what goes on. Hope is looking at what's around you. That's what hope does. Hope is attached to your feelings. Well, you know, feel hopes. You got to get faith brings your hope out of that realm and takes a hold of it and makes what you hope for present tense. You know, you hope to feel better. Well, by faith, you can receive feel better. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Not I'm going to be healed. I believe I received it. Praise God. You know, faith will stop and thank God. Lord, it'll get up every morning and my legs still bothering me and I get up every morning. Lord, I'm just so glad I'm healed. Thank you. Thank you for healing me. I just appreciate that so much that you healed me. I don't get up every morning and say, you know, my legs still really bother me and I just don't get it. I'll tell you this thing and this is right. See, this is what people do. And they say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. No, you're not. You ain't trusting nothing. Your mouth is planting seeds of your leg hurting worse tomorrow morning. You're watering those seeds you planted. And see, people don't like to hear this. This is just the way it works. I don't know how to tell you any different. I don't know what to tell you any different. I know this. This is not hard to do. Our kids, when they were little, did this stuff. They knew how to believe to receive stuff. See, we get so cluttered and we get into so many things. We get into this Christian lingo, this Christian talk that we got these nice little phrases. And we're throwing them out there using, they're worthless things, just throwing them out there using and being around each other and think, well, we're talking something spiritual. And the whole time, we're just talking a bunch of nonsense and unbelief that mean nothing to us. See, our words are powerful things. I want you to think about the words of your mouth. God created you that the words of your mouth put into your spirit can produce exactly what those words say. God did that. God handed man the biggest gun that he could have ever handled. Everybody's trying to get rid of weapons off the street. I'm going to tell you the problems in America. We started needing to license mouths. The most dangerous thing that you have around you is the voices of everybody and their nonsense. Because it's producing in our society. The more they get and they're fussing and their mouths going, the worse things get. You know what? The world got enough trouble without Ed being a major problem in it. And you being a major problem in it. Somebody's got to produce something. And you know, we've had years ago, they taught us how to do this, and we've laid this aside for all this fluff Christianity stuff that's real nice that accepts everybody and everything. And we've laid down the truth of the Word of God that was given to us to produce a future of glory, and we got the future that we got now that stinks. And it was produced by our mouths. See, this is why so many people, they get over complaining about the government. Pray for the government. Pray for the government. You know, one of the things it is you know, all this hype and praying about the government for the election, most people are going to turn off the switch of praying. One of the reasons why many things haven't turned around, I'll tell you why. It's because it was last minute praying. It wasn't praying that brought things till they could produce till they got their fruit. We want to change when things get bad. And as soon as the election's about, we'll wait till the next election to pray and we'll get the same thing. No, you just keep praying. Right now, you walk in authority today. You do today and you walk, because the next time when we step into the place, our authority's producing fruit. We'll have what we want. See, we always just, well, you wait till you get sick, then we're going to believe God for healing. I'm sorry. If you ain't believing God when you're well, you're already behind the eight ball, you're going to have a long time till you get recovered. Face it. It's when you go over here, you're planting seeds all the time concerning health. You're always planting seeds of health. You're always planting the seeds that are in you, you're always watering them. You're always throwing it. Praise God, hallelujah. I know inside of me by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I never try to get healed. I am healed. That's my life. Now, I didn't start that way, but over all these years of 30-some years of confessing that, I can't think any different way anymore than I'm healed. I don't think of any different way of it than that. I don't ever come along and say, well, you know, I'm praying to believe God for healing. I am healed. I ain't praying about nothing. Why? Because it's in me. It's a fruit bearing in me. It's there. It's been cultivated and developed over the years. The wonderful thing about the seed of the Word of God, when you harvest, it don't cut it off and you have to start over. It's still there. You can keep that thing producing all the time. You can keep that thing running. Hallelujah. And it'll continually produce fruit. It's the incorruptible seed. That's why you wanted to, this thing works. It takes time to develop it. Once you get this thing going, I'm going to tell you what, this thing is dangerous to the devil, because it just keeps working, it keeps working, and it keeps working, and he can't stop it. He can't stop the fruit of the Word. He can't stop what my spirit is producing. God designed it. If I put my His words in this thing, in my spirit, and I will confess them, and I believe them, and I act like they're true, He can't stop this fruit from producing. He can do whatever He wants. Get in front of me, you're going to get run over. The fruit is showing up. This is the design. It's just like the farmer. He goes out here, plants his stuff. It rains on that field. And I'm sure you go out there and try to put your hand over all the corn there, try to keep it down. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come up. It's coming up, folks. Go do what you want, but it's coming up. And you need the incorruptible Word put into the human spirit is the most powerful thing there is. And yet most of the church world does not believe about this confession stuff. They criticize it and knock it and don't realize they're part of the trouble in the earth. They criticize it. Oh, you're one of those confession people. Yipper, that's how I got saved. How'd you get saved? If you did it any other way, you ain't got God's salvation. You don't belong to Him, because you can't get it any other way. If you find another way to do it, Paul's a liar. We'll have to throw all his letters away. We can't have none of them, because if there's a lie, how many lies did he preach? I'm going to tell you what, it's true. And if we need to get over in these areas where we walk in the light of the confessions of the Word of God to follow those things. Hallelujah. God's given us life. And He's told us that we can take these words of life. Understand, you're born again. You have the life of God in you. Your spirit has the life of God. And God says, you take my words, which are incorruptible seeds, and you put them, and you speak them, and get them into your spirit, and you keep talking. Remember Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. See, Paul went and preached words. Seeds got into people. And see, these people were dividing up of who they belonged to. You know, some are Paul, some are Apollos. And he said, I came and I preached. I planted seeds. He said, Apollos came and watered. What? The watering was? The water was just saying the same words Paul said, was watering those seeds that were already in. See, that's why you need to keep your confession in line. If you talk different, you're turning around and putting poison on your seeds. This is what people do. They poison. They don't water. They're out there with Roundup spraying their seeds in themselves by their bad confession, and they're killing what's inside of them that wants to produce. And see, what you do is you water. You keep saying what the Word of God says. You water, and what happens? God gives the increase. There's no way that it can't work. It's God's Word. It's my spirit that was recreated by God, and it's God given the increase. Anybody tells me this don't work, they're an idiot. Because God don't work then. My salvation didn't do me a bit of good. God's word ain't no good. And God can't give increase. This thing has to work, and has to work perfectly. Has to. And so you got to get it in with yourself, what is really true. And we haven't in the church. We think of so many things that we feel in the church world that need to be taught and are so important. If without faith I can't please God, to me, that's pretty high on the list. Without faith, you know what? You can't get saved. People say, salvation's more important than faith. That's a total impossibility. You can't get saved without faith. You can't please, just think, you and I are not pleasing God when we're not operating in faith. And the scripture says this, New Testament, whatever isn't of faith is sin. My God, have we sinned? We talk about the world and sinning. The church is so full of sin. The church is filled with sin. But it's not preached as being. Your mouth can run, you can worry and carry on, and I'll tell you what, they'll build a ministry to you. And it's sin. You know, I didn't start to change my mouth till I found out, you know, and realized I was sinning. If you think you're all right and you're not, you're not going to be affected. You need to know the importance of bringing mouth. If we're going to be judged by the idle, think about it. We're going to be judged. Jesus said it. We're going to be judged by the idle words we speak. Oh, dear God, I need to clean some things up. Man. Look, it don't have to be a fearful thing. The whole thing of it is beginning to operate by faith, beginning to start getting seed in you, beginning to take whatever area of your life, whether it's your health, finances, or what it is, start beginning to say the right things. Most people are trying to harvest when they ain't even got a harvest coming. They haven't really planted, they haven't watered a thing, they haven't done it, and they're trying to get a harvest. What you got to do is start to get the Word, meditate on the Word of God. That's what we talked about, Joshua. God said, you meditate on the Word day and night. That's what I did for 3 years, meditated on the Word day and night. I'd go into that bedroom, and I'd go in there, and I'd take my Bible, I'd take a tape player in with me, and I would go into that place, and I would go in there, and I'd pray. I'd talk to God about the Word. I'd open the Word and say, Lord, your Word says this, and you can't lie about it, so that has to be true. That's got to be true. Lord God, if that statement isn't true, I need you to talk to me right about now why that ain't true. I want to know. Because I'm going to be acting on this thing as if it's true. I'd go into my room and talk to God like that. God, you said this. This is what I believe. Lord God, I've been standing on this thing and don't look like that. What about your word? You know how many times God was waiting for me to get to the point to stop and say, Lord God, I ain't moving. Your word said this. And if you don't do it, you'd be a liar. God was just, he was so excited that I did that. He was so excited that I make a sin. Most of you are too passive. That's what's wrong with your faith. You're passive Christians. God wants in your face people concerning him. Man, God, your word's true. God, your word's true. I don't care anybody else. Your word's true. You have to bring this to pass because I believe it. I believe it's true, and I'm acting like it's true. You got to bring it to pass. I'm not pushing him into anything. He shouldn't have said he would do it if he wasn't gonna. You don't know how happy he is that somebody, he told me the reason you've seen, he said, Ed, the reason you've seen so many things happen, he said, because the extreme things that you do. When it comes to the word, I'm an extremist. Most people are extremists in their violence and tempers and everything else. But coming to the word, I'm going to tell you, the word says it, that's it. We're going to camp on that thing, and we ain't changing. I don't care if everybody else leaves and says, no, we ain't doing that. You're wrong. You're out of here. If I find the word says something, that's where we're standing. You got to come to that. You got to come to that thing where you come to that place where you come. If you get true faith, will always make you courageous. What? God tell Joshua? Be strong and be courageous. Meditate on the word of God. You want to be strong and courageous? If you're not, I know this. You're not a meditator on the word. You don't meditate on the word till you get it inside of you and say, man, that thing is true. And that's mine and I'm taking it. That's what I'm believing on this subject. This is what I got. I am not going to accept plan B. Most people have things that they're going to accept if things don't work. They have other ideas and other plans. One of the greatest things that I love in my life is to see God's word come to pass. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. I remember my kids, I mean, they're just little. Wanted all this Barbie stuff. All this Barbie stuff they wanted. Probably about $2,000 worth of it. I mean, back then, I'm going to tell you what, this stuff was expensive and all this stuff and all these clothing and these houses and stuff. A lot of that stuff is cheaper today than it was back then. Man, God, this stuff was expensive, especially, take inflation where we were money-wise back then, and, you know, you weren't making as much, but they wanted them. So we got down with them, and they wanted all this Barbie stuff. And so it was one of these jobs that God get exceedingly abundantly above what you act or think. So, you know, they wanted the car, the house, the this, the that, and then all these, they wanted these different Barbies and Barbie this and Barbie that. So they were just little kids. I mean, I'm talking about little kids. And we just, well, and so we tell them, said, we don't believe God for these things. And we talked to them about believing God. And we sat down with them, and they got agreement. Agreed, and they agreed that God, that they had these things. God gave them these things. And you know what we did? We went to bed at night, woke up in the morning, went to bed at night, woke up, never thought about it. Just went to bed at night, woke up in the morning. Those words were out there. Those words were out there, and they were words of faith of what we believed. And we went to bed, and we got up, and went to bed, and got up, and went to bed, and got up. And one day, in the mail, this huge box came. This huge box. We had told nobody about this. Nobody knew anything about this. This was us. And this big box shows up. This big box showed up from Georgia. And Wanda's cousin, who is a dentist, he had two daughters that were grown up, and they had every Barbie thing, I think, that was ever made of Barbie things. Because you wouldn't believe how many dolls. The amount of outfits for Barbie in there. My God, we could have opened a store. I'm serious. Everything you could think of that Barbie had, it was in that box. We went to bed night and day. Night, we went to bed. Woke up every morning. See, those words were out there. See, those words were producing the whole time. Those words were producing. They were bringing the fruit of what we believe God for. And we sit out there on that thing, and it came in. We learned. We did that time after time. When we would go on vacations, I would do the same principle that we would go do this. See, I've heard people over the years, they'd say, we're believing God for money to go on this certain vacation. And I know they're never going to get it. They're going to have to do things around and figure out how to do it. God can't specifically bring it to them. They'll sit and figure out how to get that money to do it. What I've always done is, well, I never say, you know, we're believing money for a vacation. I always tell people, we're going on a vacation and we got the money. I believe we received the money. We have the money. Praise God. We ain't got a nickel to rub together. And what I start doing, we start planning a vacation. Where we're going to go, we always just go ahead and we make hotel reservations. I don't need no two nickels to rub together to make hotel measurements. When I talk to people, we even set dates and times that we're going to go. I don't wait till the money would come, then we'll decide about the vacation. You'll never see it, so forget it. You ain't going to have it. There's no faith involved in that. When it shows up, then I'll act like it's true. I'll act like I got it. My wife, we've done this thing for years and years. We're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. And we always plan a really good vacation, and they're always expensive. You spend money. I don't go on a cheap vacation. I used to do that as sinners, trying to get by. When I found out you can have a good one, I thought, let's have a good one. It would be a nice one to do. Hallelujah. When I found out that God knows how to get money to me, it was a wonderful thing to find out, because I never knew about that before. And they didn't teach that in the churches I was ever in. They never taught nobody how to. They thought if God was going to do anything, he's going to take your money. That was what he was out to do. He was out to get it in your wallet and instead of put something in it. And so anyhow, we do that. We just make our plans, and then we would go tell everybody, praise God, we're going on such and such a place, and we're going to be doing this and going here and going there on vacation. Now, you understand, you're not going to do that just because I can do it. I spent years developing that thing. Wanda and I spent years of developing, of saying those things. You're going to have to do the same thing. You have to get the word in you and keep saying the word and confessing it and get yourself in you, that you begin to see that you can do these things. This is what I can do. I can believe this. I can set that in motion. I can do it. We've learned over time to do that. It's like I told you, we started off believing God for $20. Most people wait till they need $1,000 before they ever believe God for anything, and they can't bring the $1,000 in. They can't do it. They never bought $20 in. They can't bring $1,000. You're not going to start off with $1,000. You need to know where your faith's at. You need to know the place where you can believe. God is not moved by your need. Don't you believe any of that stupid preaching. If God was moved by your need, everybody would get what they need. Have you noticed that don't happen? God's not moved by your need. God is moved by your faith. And this is one thing. That's why practice little. I tell people, practice on start believing God concerning a cold. Start believing God concerning those things. You know, we started off and we believe in things concerning, flu season would come. You don't get the flu. People say the flu season's here. I'm sorry, I only have one season. It's called health. I don't have a flu season. Everybody else seems to have one. We'll have one. Go ahead. Big time. Do whatever you want. I don't have one. I don't have a flu season. See, people wonder why. They walk around and say, well, you know, it's flu season. You said it's flu season. Well, I'm going to try to believe God, you know, that I don't want to get the flu. Why? You said it's season. It's time to harvest that, you know. You already got your sickle in. It's time to get the flu. Okay, it's time now. All right, it's here. Let's get the flu. Oh, yes. Let's do that. Yes, but I'm trusting the Lord. Yeah. I'm Mr. Faith, you know. I'm just out here just doing that stuff. I got the sickle in, though, pulling the flu. I tell you, we got that flu's coming in. Want some flu? I got some for you. I'll tell you, we know how to do it. It's flu season. See, we don't ever see this as people are preparing. People are preparing to be sick. They're preparing. Their mouths are working, preparing them for things, getting them ready. People get over there, their mouths are preparing them to continue to be sick. Their mouth is preparing them. They're producing the fruit of it. They want healed. They think God's moved because they want healed. Oh, he hates to see them in the condition you're in, but he got to watch. Because he set laws in motion. God can't break his own laws. If he does, he's like the devil. He's lawless. You know, it's like our Constitution. If we don't like things, we can change things. We have that right. But until it's changed, you got to follow the law, even though you don't like it or not. We have today the outlaw government out here. We got loads of judges, and we got people in the House and the Senate. They're just lawless people. And what they don't like, you just go ahead and break the law. Christians do that all the time. They don't like it, so I don't think that's right. It don't matter. It's what the law says. So you don't want to get over to lawlessness, because you get into lawlessness, you'll treat the Word of God exactly the same way. What you don't like, you won't do, but you'll expect a good result. God has set laws and rules, and you and I need to follow them. We need to follow those rules. I was going to teach this morning concerning the tree of life, but we didn't get there. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning, and that's just one of those things. You know, you have good intentions, but God, you know, is moving a direction. But I want you to get this into yourself. Really is, and I'm really preaching this strong, because there really needs to be changes made by people in this area. You need to do it. And as I said, and don't do this. Don't try to change 27 different things. Begin to focus yourself. When I got born again, God really, I don't know why, but God really dealt with me like, say, in the areas of healing. He got me first over in the areas. He didn't start me off in the financial area. This is one of the things that I found out. Most of the people that jump to the financial area first don't do well. And I'm not saying you need to learn the financial area. But there's one of the things, like the Lord dealt with me, concerning your health. God wants you healthy. It is amazing. You know, You're not going to have trouble with, I tell you, you can get money if you're well, because you can work, you can earn money, you can do things if you're well. It's keeping yourself well. That's a high priority. The Lord said this to me and spoke to me in that 3-year period. One of the things that he said to me that's always stuck with me, he said the number one thing that he said, I want for my people, in other words, the born again Christian, he wants them to be filled with the Spirit. But the number one thing he wants them to have is to be healed. He said, when people are sick, he said, the devil takes their money. So he said they can't give and do things like I want them to do. They can't get involved with what I want them to be involved in. And he said they can't go and do the things I want them to do because they're sick. So the devil is robbing and stealing. I want to tell you what, just think of how much money there'd be in America if we could halt the sickness junk. The medical field's the biggest consumer of taking money that there is. And people seem to love it. Even the Christians seem to love it. See, we got to get over it. Understand this. God said to me, I want my people, the number one thing I want is my people to be well. You know, Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. By his stripes, he did. You know, the church, they wouldn't, I think most Christians would be dumb enough running around here and saying, we know God wants people to sin. But the church is dumb enough to act like God wants people sick. And he says, man, I don't want my people sick. It's be an area that you learned to get over into. Is number one is get what the Word says. Meditation on the Word. We found out the meditation, one of the things is a definition was given, was to ponder by talking. To ponder by talking. Take the Word and get it, saying it out loud. You need to learn to do this. You need to learn to talk to yourself out loud. If you don't do it, you're never going to develop your faith. Faith comes by hearing words spoken, not by reading words. Faith don't come by reading words. It's words spoken. You can sit down. This is why most people, they read the Bible and they silently read. You might have a revelation coming, but it ain't going to do you no good to your heart till you say it. You can't plant a seed any other way. You can't get the word in your heart by reading it. You get it in by saying it. That's how you plant the seed. It's by saying. I've had people say, you know, you talk to yourself. I say, you ain't telling me nothing new. I get around sometimes and I talk to myself to keep my flesh under so I don't choke them. And I'll say, you talk to yourself. Yes, and you should be glad I do. Glory to God. But I want you need to understand that. You need to be voicing words. And there's nobody's voice means more to you than yours. You think you're right, okay? And if you're saying God's word, you are. You're right. And you need to voice it over and over. If you realize how many times I have confessed things over and certain things in the Word of God, how many? I'll tell you what, I think sometimes there's some of that stuff I've said millions of times. I've just said over and over and over. That's why you guys have heard me. I preached to the guy in the mirror. I actually talked to the man in the mirror. I talk to him. I voice it. I say it with my mouth. I don't think things about that guy in the mirror I look at. I say things to him. He's the reflection of the one I want changed. See, you go in there and you talk to yourself? Sure enough, I do. I got so that I talk at night. Things come up out of my spirit when I'm asleep. You keep getting, it produces that inner man. You get him to the point, he can't quit. He'll just get over there and he'll get hooked up on the word. He'll just produce it and produce it and produce it. People talk about, well, you know, they have nightmares and all that stuff. They're producing what they put in them. They're producing the fears that are down inside of them, and they get them in their spirit, and they go to nighttime. At nighttime, the body gets quiet, and that what's on the inside starts to rise up. You're going to get the fruit. You get the fruits. See, I sat in churches as a kid, and you know what? They preached fear from the pulpit. They preached fear. They preached, you know, Jesus come, he's going to get you. If you did something wrong, he's going to get you. He saw that. And as a little kid, that stuff got into me. And that fear grew up in me as a kid, grew up to the point where I hated God. I hated him. Because I tell you, to me, he was nothing but agony and a pain. He was always out to try to get me. There's a lot of people out here don't like God because Christians turned them against God. God ain't out to get you, he's out to help you. He's out to help you. That's what he's going to do. I found out the major problem in my life wasn't the devil. It was Ed. You look in the mirror. Because I'm going to tell you what. That man in the mirror that you look at, or woman in the mirror that you look at, that person can be changed. And the devil can try to do all he wants. And he won't be able to ever overcome that person if you get the word in him and the word produce it, no matter what he does or what he says. You need to understand this about the devil. 99% of what the devil does is talk. And what he does is gets you to start confessing what he thinks and what he has said. That's what he does. He gets you to start first. He gets you to believe it. Well, you see, well, this is going to turn out. Look at that. Last time that happened, this. Every time we get ready to go on vacation, the kids get sick. I'll tell you what. I just thought every time we go to do this, this happens. People come highly developed in that. And I'll tell you what, they can get their kids sick in a drop of a hat. They've developed that over the years. And every time we go to do this, this happens. Every time I see the Father God, the pressure seems to come. I want to tell you this, pressure come, don't bother me in the least. That's what faith's about. Faith is about when pressure comes. You don't need no faith when there ain't no pressure. You don't need no faith when there's nothing wrong, there's nothing to change, nothing to do. Faith is about when the pressure comes. When the pressure comes, as like Kenneth Hagin taught us, praise God, I have an opportunity to use my faith and overcome. Glory to God. I'm in the good fight of faith, and I'm a winner. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror. I don't just conquer, I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. But see, you got to get those on. It doesn't. I say that, that might make you feel good, but it ain't going to do a thing for you, do you say it? Don't matter what I preach to you out here, it's what you're preaching is what's changing your life, not what I'm preaching. You need to get that. That's why I'm my number one preacher. I have to be. I got to get the right words. I'll listen to what other people say, and if it's from the Word of God, I'll take it. Hey, here we go. And I'll start saying it. I start saying it. I start putting those words out. I put those words. I say those words. They become my words now. See, God's words got to become your words. They can't be something you just listen to and say, boy, isn't that? I've been listening to a lot of stuff, what you've been saying. What have you been saying about what you, have you put it to your voice? If you haven't, there's nothing being produced. No seeds have been planted. No, nothing's going on. You're just sitting around there. I heard it one time. That was really good. But what did you do with it?
What do you mean, what did I do with it?
I believe it was true. Big deal. You believe it was true. You need to say it till that thing starts to put up a stalk, starts coming up. Saying it to the head forms on that thing. You keep saying that thing and speaking that thing and watering that thing till that thing starts to produce fruit. You keep saying it till it shows up. You can get to the point, you'll get so highly developed. My words, you can almost go over and just say something a little bit. There's things that I know anymore, that there's areas I've developed myself in. I can say a few words and change something just like that. I can stop a headache just like that. Headache tries to come on me, I could just say a couple words and that's it. It stops. Got highly developed in it. I'm not, there's no pat in the back. God made the system. Just operate in the system. But you get highly developed. That's what you want to do. Get yourself where you're highly developed. Where your words, things come to pass. That's what the Lord said to me. The reason. See, there's words. We're going to talk about this. We're talking about words now, but we're going to talk about actions of faith. A lot of people, as James said this, faith without corresponding action or faith without works is dead. Many people have dead faith. Their faith, they believe it's true, they said it's true, but they never act like it's true. See, I've heard people say, well, now I believe I received my healing. I always say, well, why don't you thank God? Why don't you act like you got it? See, they never act like they got it. They say, yeah, I believe I received it, but they're walking around their little long face. You know, if I was sick and I thought, you know, I received my healing, it should bring some joy to me. There ought to be a smile come on my face. There ought to be, thank you, Lord God, for giving me my healing. See, there's actions that has to be done. People don't do that. What they're doing is they're waiting until they feel better. We know very little about thanks. We only thanksgiving, most of the church knows, is thankful for what God has already done. If you don't understand the thanksgiving that is in faith, you know very little about thanksgiving and its power. The power of thanksgiving is thankful that God is doing what you cannot see, what you cannot feel, and you're thanking God, it's yours, He did it for you, it belongs to you. Most of all thanksgiving that people do is like our Thanksgiving Day, thanking God for all that He gave us. I'm going to tell you, I'm thanking God for my future because my future is greater than my past. My year coming is greater than the year that went. Thank God for the good of the past, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm looking down the road and thank God there's stuff just jumping in my pockets. Hallelujah. There's stuff that belongs to me. I'm looking down the road because that's the stuff that was my hopes and I got faith now and I brought it to me and it's mine and it will show up. 2019 is going to be a great year for me. Hallelujah. A glorious year for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people say, I wouldn't say that. What if it don't turn out that way? What if I said that and it didn't work that way? Well, don't worry. It won't work for you. So just relax. Go ahead. Just be like everybody else. Hallelujah. You know, I ain't getting the flu. I ain't having the flu. Say, hey, you want a flu shot? I'm sorry, I took mine years ago. I want to tell you what, it's still producing fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God, it's working. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And do these things. Now, I'll just tell you this. There's things that I have not arrived at yet. There's things I'm working on. Because I don't near produce the fruit that I need to be able to produce. But the way I know the method in which it's done. And if you know the method, you can make it work. You can make it work. It's one of the things is really, you know, picking an area. Like I said, pick an area and begin to say what the Word of God says. Begin to speak that. Hallelujah. Begin to say that. You know, just from a standpoint of healing. Like, you know, I never have sat down and I know they have these things and they like, you know, 47 different healing scriptures or they'll go over. I've never done that in my life. You know, I got a revelation, you know, that from Isaiah's prophecy, and which was spoken in the New Testament, that, you know, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2:24, which is, by His stripes I was healed. When I got the revelation concerning those scriptures, I mean, I stand just concerning, now that's me, I just stand concerning those scriptures. See, I am healed. Jesus already took my infirmities. He took it, so I ain't taking it. He already took it. He took it before the symptoms started coming on my body. He already took it. See, most people, they just, they start, you know, we're going to work on this thing. No, I'm sorry. That don't belong to me. Sickness does not belong to me. No more than sin belongs to me. Now, most of the church world is taking sin, too. They believe, well, we're just going to sin. Well, then you're just in just like that. Well, you're in the earth, and I've heard them say, you're here in this world, and you're just going to get sick. Well, go ahead. Have at it. You can have mine, too. You know, you can take mine. Go ahead. I give it to you. I don't mind. You know, what the devil tries to get me, I'll send him to your house from now on. So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not having sickness. I've refused to tolerate it. I have been sick in my life, and I've been very sick years and years ago. And I know what it is to be really sick. And I want to tell you what, I ain't going there no more. I hated it. Till you hate sickness, you're going to always have to deal with it. If you don't hate sin, you're always going to have to deal with it. You want to get it where you hate it. Why? Because it steals from me. Sin steals from me. Sickness steals from me. And I want to tell you what, I don't like thieves. I'm not a thief. Are you? You should hate it when you're being stolen from. You should hate it. There should be, you know what? You can get mad at the devil. You're allowed to. Do you know that? You're allowed to hate him and you don't have to repent of it either. You can hate him and you don't have to repent. My God, I'm glad I got somebody I can say some things to. Hallelujah. You got to get over that thing where you hate it. When he brings sickness, that's his kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of God. That's not, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from it, not to it. I've been redeemed from it. It doesn't, but sickness don't belong to me. Poverty don't belong to me. It is not mine. I am not trying to get healed. I am not trying to get well. I'm not trying to get money. It belongs to me. I've been redeemed from poverty. If I'm redeemed from poverty, then I've been redeemed to wealth. I've been redeemed to blessing. I've been redeemed to health and healing. That's what I've been redeemed to. That is mine. That is yours. Get it in yours. Put it on your voice and say those things. And I'm telling you, say those things to yourself. You ought to have things that you speak concerning yourself that you say. Most people never say a thing till they pray. Well, if you don't pray very much, you don't ever get much said, so don't be surprised not much ever shows up. Because you're not producing much of anything. You've got to get a voice and talking things. The Lord taught me years ago, and I do this. I do more of talking and saying things than I do praying about things. Most of my prayer life, I've dedicated it to what God wants to do. And say, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? There's things you want me. You know, sometimes I don't know. And I say, Lord, I'm just going to yield the Holy Ghost. If there's things you want prayed out, you just use me. You just go ahead and use me. Why? Because most things I've learned to say. I speak what the answer is and what I will have out of it. I can do that. The Bible tells that. I use Mark 11:23. Most people don't even use 24 very well. They're always trying to get something through it instead of receiving something. Mark 11:24 is about receiving something. It's not trying to get something. It's not asking God to give me something He hasn't already given. That's why you can believe you receive it. He's already given it. Hallelujah. But see, he's learned to do that. You can learn to speak. As Jesus said, you can say this mountain, be removed. What is it that you want changed? Whatever it is, you need to begin to voice it and say it. You know, Charles Capps got so highly developed in his area of things. Like, you know, Charles Capps, you know, he just made a mention. His parents had these people moved in. A guy rented a house and lived next door to them. And these people were heathens and carrying on all the time. And late at night, police would be out at the place on and off all the time. And Charles Capps went over, and he said, you know, he said, I didn't really, but he said, you know, he said, I've gotten to be really highly developed. He said, I went to my parents' house, and he said, concerning my words that I speak, and he said, I just said these words. I wouldn't be surprised that house burned down. He said, the next day, that house burnt to the ground. He said, to the ground. He said, there was nothing but ashes left of that place. See, people don't know about doing that kind of stuff. People don't know anything about it. And in the church world, that thing confuses people. Well, I don't understand. Charles Capps was with Happy Caldwell. Happy Caldwell was a pastor in Colorado. And they were out fishing. And Charles Capps had this lure that he had fishing for bass, and the bass took his lure. And it was his favorite lure. And he's sitting in the boat, and Happy Caldwell says, as a witness, he said, God is my witness on this thing. He said, he looked out of the water, and he said, bass, you bring that thing back to me. And he said, we were sitting there fishing. He said, this bass came up to the boat and spit it right up inside the boat. Now, see, you sit down. Now, number one, that there said, see, people, well, I want to do that. Hold it. If you can't talk to a headache, just you ain't going to ever do that. But I want to tell you what. Jesus Christ said, you can have whatever you say. He did not make a statement that sounds, well, why would God be interested? It wasn't about God's interested. God developed man. When God gave Adam dominion, Adam's rule was by his mouth, not by the rod. What he could say would bring anything to pass he wanted in the earth. That's what God gave him, the authority. God gave him the authority. When Adam sinned, man's voice began to talk in a different direction, and destruction started into the earth. Sin entered into the earth through people's voices confessing and saying the wrong things. Instead of the church ruling today, the church has made confessions, and things that have been wrong and doing things have become part of the problem. And God wants the church to be used to bring His will. We pray for leaders so we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. If we can't do that, the Word of God's a lie. Are we living a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness? No, we're not. It ain't going on, is it? Why? It's the church's fault. The church has not used its authority. Instead, the church talked about the problems and talked about the problems and talked about the problems and didn't ever confess and rule in the earth through its authority to bring things into line to the will of God. That's what we're here for. We're here to use our voice to bring things in line. This is why, you know, this end times, God is moving right now. We need to stay in this praying things concerning our government and stuff. We need to stay moving in this air, standing in the face of God, taking the word of God, say, your word says this, Lord. Lord, you said you wanted to have good government. I want a life that's peaceful. I want a life that's quiet. I want the gospel to be able to go forth in America. I don't want all this turmoil going all the time. Lord God, you're wanting to move in a good government. And Lord God, that's what we're going to. Lord God, we're not going to have it anyway. We're not going to have it. I don't care what their election turned out to be. I'm going to tell you, Ed still got votes. I still got votes. See, and most Christians never use their votes. They just call prayer complaining to God about what's going on. That's prayer. That ain't prayer. God is waiting for the kings to walk in the throne room and say, you know what? God, you said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You said whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm the king here. You made it that way. You did it. If you didn't want me to be king, you should have said so. You should have changed. But you didn't. You made me king because you had a purpose in it. And God, I want your will done on earth like it is in heaven. You know, the Lord's Prayer is the biggest comical thing they ever pray in a church because Christians don't believe it at all. They just have their little mouth running and saying that thing and don't believe it at all. We pray for God's will to be done on earth and like in heaven. And, well, you know, these end times are just going to get so bad and we just can't make it. And I'll tell you what, it's just going to... No, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't changed. God's will. I'm going to tell you what, I want God's will. That's what I will have. I will have God's will. See, we need to come to the place that we do these things. Well, we'll stop and start changing our voices, get in line with the Word of God, and leave the religion that we have of the past. The junk that's been put in us to the past that we drug along and brought in. Throw this stuff out and come over. People are going to knock you and make fun of you because you do it. They mocked and made fun of Jesus. Get over it. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Don't let that disturb you in the bits. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to change the world for them. They can criticize me, but they'll get a better world out of it. Hallelujah. It don't matter. See, I got to walk in love with them anyhow. It don't matter what they're doing. I don't care what the world's after or doing. It's what I'm doing that makes the difference. It's what you're doing is either going to make a difference or part of the problem. It's what we do. Hallelujah. And glory to God. What other group in this earth has God ever said that whatever you bind on earth would be down in heaven? Now, number one, you need to go and start meditating on those scriptures till you believe them. There would be a good place to start with something. To take those scriptures and probably quote them about a good 2,000 times a day. And take that scripture. Hallelujah. Whatever. I have the keys to the kingdom. I have them. It was given to me, the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose. See, that there really sounds nice, but is it real to you? If things ain't changing in your life, it ain't real to you. When that thing gets real to you and you get it down on the inside, that you have a revelation that what you can walk before God and do, I'll tell you, if you got about 25 people that really got that thing, my words, what you could, dear Lord, my God, you could turn the world upside down. See, people, we quote these things and we say them, you know, in our nice little religious times, but we never take the time to keep saying them until they finally get into us. And then one day it's, oh my God, get back. Lord, I'm coming to the throne room. Woo-hoo-hoo! Here I is. Now the king's here. Oh, my words. And Jesus is saying, about time. Well, I've been waiting for him. Lord, I've been waiting for him to come. I've been waiting for him to get in here. God's been waiting on us. God has been waiting on us. And I'm going to tell you what, before the church leaves this earth, the kings are going to rise. Amen. There's going to be a rise of kings in the earth. Hallelujah. A rise of kings that are going to be ruling and reigning in this earth through Christ Jesus. Ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. Believing what His Word says, not by rote. Actually believe what it says, saying what it says, walking in what it says, doing what it says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And people are going to marvel and say, those people, they know God. They know God. Most Christians only know about God. They know about God. Just like they know about George Washington if they read a book. I'm going to tell you what, I'm the book. The Word of God in you becomes the book. The Word of God on the page is just a book. The Word of God in your heart is God in you. Hallelujah. You get the Word in you, you become the book. You become the words of life. You have the words of life of God, and you are speaking those words, and those are the words that you believe, and those are the words that you say. And you're walking, whether you realize it or not, you're God in the earth. That's what he's been looking for. He's been looking for. That's how he operates in the earth, through voice. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Lord, you've been patient and kind with us, and we sure do appreciate it. Hallelujah. Lord God, oh my, you're incredible. Father God, what you've given to us is so phenomenal. Lord God, my mind just don't comprehend the extent of this thing. And Lord God, our minds can't. And Lord God, it's not to be understood with the mind, but it's to be understood and comprehend with the heart. And Lord God, my heart loves these words. My inner man loves these words of life, because these words of life, Lord God, it stirs in us up what we've been called to be and walk in. Oh, Lord God, Lord, forgive us. Forgive the church of Jesus Christ for being a pretty much of a pain in the neck in this earth for you, because a lot of it has been. And it's worked against you. But Lord God, Lord, we're not pointing the finger at any certain ones. But Lord God, Lord, you're teaching us in this hour, because Lord God, Lord, we're tired of walking in what we walked in before. We don't want to go back there to that anymore. Lord God, there's paths that we walked into the past. They were good for the time, but they're not good for this time. There's a deeper place to walk. There's a deeper and greater place to go. And Father God, we want to walk to that place. Lord God, we want to go to that place where we go from glory to glory. Lord God, we want to go to those places that change us. We're in your presence, just like Moses on the mountain. When we come out, we're not going to be the same anymore. We're not going to be the same person anymore. Lord God, we're coming up to the mountain. We're coming up on the mountain. Lord God, we're tired of living down here walking in the valley, Lord God. Walking down here and what's been good, it's been all right. But Lord God, there's glory on the mountain. There's a cloud on the mountain, Lord God, that I want to walk into. There's a cloud that I need to go to, Lord God. And that cloud beckons me. That cloud calls me, Lord God. And Lord God, I haven't moved to it always as fast as I should have. And I should have. But Lord God, I'm moving now and I'm coming to the cloud. Hallelujah. Lord God, I'm entering the cloud. That's the place that I'm going to. And Lord God, we want to go to the place of the cloud. Lord, when we come down off the cloud, we want to be like Moses. The glory of God's on us. Hallelujah. Lord God, if anything the people of our nation deserve is the glory of God. The sinner needs to see the glory of God. Lord God, all they've seen is men doing men things and call it a church. But Lord God, they need to see your glory. They need to see men and women full of the glory of God, filled with God's power. When they look on upon the face of the church, they say, there's God working in that place. Hallelujah. God's glory is there, and men will be drawn by that glory, Lord God. Lord, we're not going to throw a veil over it. Hallelujah. Lord God, the glory is going to shine in these days and these hours, and men and women will come from afar to come to the glory of God and come to walk in the glory, oh, that they've never seen before, that heaven will be touching the earth, Lord God, through your people. Heaven will show up. There will be days of heaven in the earth in these last days. God's glory falling upon his people. People revealed to others, and others grabbing a hold of that glory. And we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I don't care if they criticize us. I don't care what they say. Lord God, we're not going to fight or fuss with them. We're going to bring glory to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, it doesn't matter. Lord God, there's men that I thought were crazy. But Lord God, they followed you till I got glory. And Lord God, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to follow you. Lord God, whatever man's doing, whatever happening in the government, Lord God, it will not dominate us. It will not rule us. We will rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are the more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. And we'll stand in our place in this day, and we'll walk in that place full of this glory and full of this power. Hallelujah. Lord God, the Holy Ghost is living in us. And Lord God, we're connecting to that great glory and that great power that's inside of us. Lord God, there's a cloud that lives in us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that cloud is changing us. Hallelujah. And we're stepping into it. Lord, we're becoming more spiritually minded than earthly minded. More spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm more conscious of the inner man than the outer man. More conscious of the inner man than the outer man. Thinking on the inner man. Hallelujah. Lord God, the place where you dwell, the place where you talk to me, the place where you work on me. Lord God, that's the place I see. That's the place I want to be connected to, Lord God. I don't want to be connected to something else, Lord God. Lord, people need glory. They need the glory revealed. They need the glory shown. And Lord God, Lord, you do it through people, and hallelujah, it will be done through us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, you're so wonderful and good. Lord, my expectation of the future. Lord, I'm looking 2019. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, there's a glory. There's a glory that we're stepping into. Lord God, we're going from one glory. And I thank you, the glory of this year has prepared us for the glory of this next year that we're stepping into, Lord God. And Lord, this is going to be a big step into this year. This is going to be a big step for those who have walked with God and have listened in this past year. Lord God, this is a great place. Lord God, this is a stepping place that we're going to go into. Lord, I believe we're going to marvel. I believe we're going to marvel at what your glory will do in the church and through the church. Hallelujah. We're coming into the place, Lord God, stepping to that, Lord God, up to a higher, higher glory. Glory to God, change. Change, change forever. Never being the same again. Never being the same again. Changed by the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, these are the days of fruit. These are the days of fruit and harvest. And Lord God, we've planted many things concerning the Spirit this year. Oh, my. Harvest time, harvest time, harvest time. Things coming forth. Things coming forth in abundance. In abundance, Lord God. Coming forth. Hallelujah. Things that were said. Things that were spoken. Bearing fruit and showing up. Hallelujah. Oh, for this is the day and the time. Fruit. Fruit coming forth. Fruit coming forth. Hallelujah. The sickle will be put in. Oh, and wonderful things will be brought in this day and in this hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brakatina, bratetsina farakima. Nan galariko breshe, emini keta, gora beredefreto geshe shaleko te shamama kiata. Fonda lake doshe, teish kamama rata gala. Vro bebefina, vanskushke rata kamanayana na kashkika, lora bareshe manyana. Now you're seeing, now your eyes are opening. Yes, and I've set these things forth this year, and your eyes shall be opened more and more as the new year comes. For in the new year, yes, ones who have listened to me this year are going to step into a glory. So if you prepared yourself for this time, this is a day of glory when you will step forth into my plan divine. And you will step forth into the things that I have called you to from times past. And now I'm going to seat you in those places for this day is the final hour and the final days. And now it's time to step into your place for this hour. And I've called you. So follow me. Oh yes, you might say, well, Lord, what exactly do you want me to do? You will know and understand if you've walked with me this far. For when those times come, you will know what to step into and what to walk into. For I have set it in place. And it's a place that requires faith to go. Yes. And if you'll just walk and continue to follow, you'll see and know when it comes. And you'll walk in it and you will be greatly rejoicing, hallelujah, because the will of God will be performed and done, and glory will be revealed through you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Strengthen with might. Strengthen with might by His Spirit in our inner man. Strengthen with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Strengthen with might by His Spirit in your inner man. That Christ dwells in your heart by faith. You're rooted and grounded in love, and you're able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height, the length, and the depth, and the breadth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That prayer, so you're filled with all the fullness of Him. So you're filled with not some of the fullness of Him. So you're filled with all the fullness. That's the plan of God, for you to be strengthened with might. So you're filled with all the fullness of Him. So He can do exceedingly abundantly above what you and I can imagine or think. Hallelujah. Oh, my. God's going to do more than I can imagine. God's going to do more than I can think. Hallelujah. It is according to the power that works in me. Glory to God. The strengthening of the might of the Holy Ghost in us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Being strong. Glory to God. You're strong. You're strong. You're strong. Hallelujah. Let the weak, it says, say I'm strong. You're supposed to be saying I'm strong. You're not supposed to be saying I'm weak. Your people said I'm praying for God for strength. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Pray all you want. Why don't you say the right thing? Say it. Get it on your voice. I'm strong. Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's me. Glory to God. That's the way He created me. That's the way He made me. Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not strong in my strength. I'm not strong, but I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not weak. He's made me strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the judge said, let the poor say I'm rich. Say, oh no, well, you don't poor. I just don't have any money. They said, let the poor say I'm rich. You don't say you don't have money. You say, I just don't have any money. Well, it'll stay that way probably. Hallelujah. You don't have no money. He said it. I don't have any money. No, no, we ain't got that. No, let the poor say I'm rich. You know what? I'm rich. See, well, I said I was rich, but I still ain't rich. Well, you need to keep planting the seed. God said you're rich. Why don't you start saying what God said? Well, would I be lying? How could you lie saying the Word of God? If it'd be a lie for me to speak the Word of God, that'd make God a liar. God said I'm rich. I'm rich. I don't care what the situation is. I'm rich. Hallelujah. God said I'm rich. God said I'm rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, money follows me around. That's right. I don't follow money. Money follows me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I'm ahead, not to tell. I'm above and not beneath. See, that's the blessing of the law. That was the blessing. See, we're redeemed from the curse, so we had the blessing. I'm the head. Well, I don't seem like I'm the head. I ain't going to say any different. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm blessed going in and coming out. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Get back. I'm blessed. Watch the blessed. See, you say those things to yourself. See, you got to encourage yourself. You got to say those things. When you get into trouble, don't talk about the problem. Talk about what God said you are. Amen. Say those things. See, a lot of people say, man, I need joy. Well, if you don't change your mouth, you'll never have that. God can't give you joy and you talk something else. Because you'll talk yourself right out of joy. Hallelujah. They come along and say, well, you know, you're not going to make it. This happened or that happened. And I don't know. No, excuse me, I read the Bible. I read the Bible. God said, I'm above and not beneath. So I'm sorry, we're not going under today. It ain't my day to go under. It might be yours. You can think whatever you want and say whatever you want. But you hide and watch. I will always come to the top. Hallelujah. Because that's the plan of God. I'm going to go on the plan of God. Well, they say, it don't look like you're going to come to the top. It don't matter. It's God's job to bring me the top. If I believe it and I say it, He has to bring me the top. He has to, or He's a liar. And He's not. He's not. He's not. Hallelujah. He's not a liar. He has to bring. I'll tell you what, you're an overcomer. I said, well, you've overcome the world. Hallelujah. The church keeps trying to overcome the world. We ought to just knock it off. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ overcame the world for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't care what they're doing in Washington. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've overcome that nonsense. We're overcomers. Jesus gave us the victory over that death and junk it's working. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My voice and your voice counts before the throne of God. Hallelujah. It's our voices. These are the ones He's waiting to hear. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Whoo, my, my, my. Whew, boy, there's an anointing. My, my, my. Glory to God. This anointing has been on me since last night. Hallelujah. I was preaching at a church last night. An anointing came on me and I went to bed with the anointing. Usually, you know, it wears off over time, but it didn't wear off. It just sort of stayed on me. I went to bed and the anointing I got this morning was still on me. God did get to be a wild man. It is, and I just as this morning when I started up here, it just kicked right back. I was just it's like, well, it's here again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, the anointing's there. I mean, you can just go. And I say it's like taking a drug, folks. I don't know if you've ever experienced any of it, but I'll tell you what, it's like taking a drug. It's like, woo, man, it does things to you. And I can tell it's really strong. It sort of gets like a little foggy in here. It does. The glory of God's here, folks. Amen. It's here in this place. When I look around, I can see sometimes. Sometimes it gets more than other times, but it gets sort of like I look around and it's sort of like sometimes I'm not sort of thinking right and I think about something wrong with my eyes because things get a little hazy. But it's the glory. I see the glory sometimes. I've seen already where, like, say, looking to the back of the church, you couldn't see back to the back of the church. It's like looking through a fog. It gets more dense as you look back through. I've seen that already. It gets a glistening to it. Sometimes it'll get almost like sparkles. You see within it like sparkles of light coming through it. You see the glory of God. Hallelujah. See, it's here. Maybe you feel it. It don't matter if you feel it or you don't feel it. It's here. It's here. The glory of God's here in this place. Hallelujah. We're in the glory. Glory. See, it doesn't matter if you see it with your eye. It doesn't matter. It's here. Hallelujah. You know, I always try to see it. In fact, I never asked to see it or anything. Just sometimes it comes. Sometimes I get like I feel a little woozy. Like right now, I sort of just feel a little bit like I had a drink or something. I just sort of feel like, you know. And it does that sometimes, you know. The anointing affects you differently or sometimes. And hallelujah, it's made me happy. Now, we need to drink more often. Get over in the spirit and drink more. It's one of the things you can learn to do. That's one of the things I learned from Keith Moore about the confession of the word, about drinking the word, confessing it till you get drunk in the spirit. I've done that numbers of times where I've just confessed the word till I got so blown out, I knocked me out on the floor. I've got already where I couldn't speak in English at all. The only thing I could talk was in tongues. Every time I could think in English, but when words come out of my mouth, they were tongues. I couldn't. I've done that already. Get over the confession. We're getting over singing the word. Start just taking. I'd go to the Psalms and start singing out of the Psalms. Say, well, what, how do you say? Well, notes. I just make them up as we go along. Hallelujah. And sing the words of God and just take the word of God. See, this is, get the word of God on your voice. See, people want power and they want glory. Get the word. See, I know that the more I preach concerning the word, the more the glory comes on. The more you emphasize the word and what the word says. And see, people are emphasizing their ideas and their stuff, and they want power. They want, it's in the word, folks. You want power in your life? It's the easiest thing to get. Saying the word, speaking what the word says, doing the more you do, the more the glory comes. Hallelujah. The more it'll come for you. And so you get over till you get to these things where you're always saying what it says about things and you're always speaking what it says. And man, after a while, that glory is just working in you. It's a natural working. Just as a farmer does in planting. He has his season to plant. He has the seasons to harvest. He just goes through his season just as naturally. You know, the seasons come and go, and he knows his seasons, and he runs his seasons. You can get that way with the things of God. You can know your seasons. You can know them and just go along. You can be prepared, harvest time. You know, any major thing that I've ever believed God for, I always knew when harvest was really close, when I was supposed to get it. I've always known. I always know that thing's about I've been believing God for. It's about to arrive. There's some things I've been believing for. I just know this. They're about close on it. They're about to arrive. They're about to come. Amen. You see, I know in me. If you know on the inside, you'll know the position that your heart's in. You know whether you got it or you don't. You know whether you have it or not. You ain't gonna fool your heart on that thing. That's why you say, being led by the Spirit of God. You want to be led by the Spirit. You want to be an inward-looking person. We can know our season. I know when I'm in a place where I've just planted something and I'm working and developing that thing, I know that inside of me. I know it ain't. Many people are trying to put the sickle in and they only got it to stalk. There ain't no fruit on it. And they're trying to get a harvest. You got to know this stuff about yourself. Just like that farmer, he don't get the combine out as soon as he sees the corn up this high. He won't get a harvest if he does. We have to have enough sense within ourselves, spiritual sense inside of us. There's time and development of things. And you need to be conscious of that. And when you're conscious and understand of it, it's just like the farmer. He might need some money, but he knows he needs to let that crop go in its full fruition of development. You don't want to get out there early. He don't want to lose money on that thing. Just because he needs some money, he don't want to lose that. He wants to let it go to its fruition so he can get as much as he can out of that thing. You need to do that. Too many people stick the sickle in before it's ready. They believe for something big out here, but they got something little because they put the sickle in. They weren't patient enough to wait. I have to have it now. I got to have it now. And so they took something less. And the devil does this all the time. He'll come and offer you something less than what you were believing for. And I'm just going to say this, not knocking anybody. Most people take it. They won't stop and say, hey, hold it. That is not mine. That's not the seed I planted. That's not the seed I planted. I'm going to stand till mine comes to pass. I'm standing till mine comes in. Hallelujah. Oh, because I will tell you, there'll always be, almost always, an offer of something less will come than what I said. There'll be an offer come. It'll come. The devil will bring something. Say, well, that's just what we had to take. And that's what, oh no. Well, we just needed that right now. No, I'm sorry. Nope. We're going to stand. We're going to have what we say. I done talked to the mountain, and the mountain will obey me. Hallelujah. I will have what I say. Because if I don't, I don't bring glory to Jesus. I don't bring glory to Jesus if I accept something less than what the Word says. You always want to stand with the Word. Father, I just thank you this morning. Lord God, you've taught us wonderful things and you've said things to us. And Lord God, I want to thank you for, Lord God, the things you spoke to me this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you have such wonderful things you want to bring us to. And I want to thank you, Lord God, you're going to take us to those places. We're going to walk in those places. Lord God, we set ourselves concerning our mouths to bring them in line. Lord, yeah, I know there's things that I need to bring in line. Yes, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, Lord. Yes, it's time to step out even further. It's time to step out further. It's time to go to the extreme in your words of what God will do. It's time to step out beyond. It's time not to be timid in these days and their hours. Lose the fear of, oh, I might make a mistake. Oh, what if I do this and it don't turn out? Lose that fear. Because fear has kept you in a place, a small place, where you've only seen a little of here or there. Oh yes, you've seen my hand and you've seen it work, but you've not seen it to the extent that I want to do for you because you've been timid. So throw that aside. Throw that aside and be bold and step out with the Word of God. Yes, step out with my Word. Confess my Word. Say my Word. Have no fear concerning my Word. For my Word shall not return void without accomplishing what it was sent to do. For I have said that, and that's the way it shall be, says the Lord. For it cannot be any other way. For I have spoken, and when I have spoken, it shall be. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, if there's anything else you want to do, we want to obey. Yes, we want to obey. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord, I'll tell them. The Lord said to remind you to saying, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And he wants to say this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's not talking just about physical life and death. It's speaking words that bring life or speaking words that bring death or bring evil. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's not just, you know, I'm saying words and I live, or I say words, I'm going to die. It's not this. It's words of life. Are you speaking life over your situations? Or are you speaking death over your situations? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking concerning things working out? Or, boy, we just don't know how we're going to make it. We just don't speak. You've got to learn to speak those words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In the power of the tongue. I tell you, say that to yourself and say that to yourself. Life and death are in the power of my tongue. My life and death are in the power of my tongue. Life and death are in the power of my tongue. Those who love it, he said, will eat its fruit. In other words, I'm going to love life. I'm going to love life. How about you? You going to love life? That's right. Love life. Life and death are in the power. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak life over things. I'm not going to speak death. I'm going to speak life over them. Hallelujah. I'm going to say the life things over them. The power of my tongue. My tongue. My tongue is full of life. And you need to say it concerning yourself. You speak those things. My tongue. See, you get out there and you might say something stupid. But don't say, oh man, I'll tell you, I never work it out right. Don't go to that. That is death talking. Stop and say, nope, I'm not going that way. No, my tongue's full of life. And say what you want to say. Keep doing it till you get yourself to, you don't say anything other than life over the situation. You just come right back to it. You just stop and say, oh no, that's not my words. I ain't going to that one. If you stop and feel sorry for yourself, you're going to turn around and just mess everything up, and you're just going to go back to the same old way you've always been. You got to stop and say, hey, that ain't it. I'm speaking life. You got to learn to act in faith and speak by faith. You learn how to do that. It's not getting over in yourself. I'm speaking by faith. It don't matter if it don't seem like it's working. That doesn't matter at all. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep saying the right thing, because if I do, it will show up. It will manifest itself. It will show up if you'll keep saying it, keep saying the right thing. Get that seed inside of you. When it does, you're going to go to bed at night. You're going to sleep. You're going to wake up in the morning and go to bed. You might turn around and forget, even forget about it. And all of a sudden, one day it shows up. That thing shows up that you have said and said and said. It has shown up. You've got it in you, and it came to the day that it produced fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith and patience inherits the promise. And we're children of promise. We're supposed to have the promises. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We can leave things set up today. Hallelujah. We'll have to take it down. So we leave things in place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have a glorious week.